is still giving his answers. He goes through chapter 10, and we looked at chapter number 9. It's been a couple weeks now, and we'll pick it up here in chapter number 10. He says, "My soul is weary of my life." Man, think about that. Think about that statement. My soul is weary of my life. Job is already so wore out with what he's going through that he doesn't want to even live anymore. He feels trapped inside his own body. "I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me." Notice the tone that Job is speaking to God has changed. The tenor of his speech is changing. He's very accusatory at this point towards God. "Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into the dust again? Hast thou poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." Now, a little bit of a switch right there. See that? Now, he said, "My soul's weary of my life." He said, "In my own will, in my own power, I'm sick of being alive, but you won't let me die. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." He's like, you are beating me half to death and then robbing me of the privilege of just dying. I loaded the gun, I pulled the trigger, misfire. I spun the cylinder, I pulled the trigger, misfire. What are you doing to me? I hung myself, the rope broke. I ate poison, never got sick. He's real upset. Verse 13, "And these things hast thou hidden thine heart, and I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and wilt thou not acquit me from mine iniquity? And thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head." Watch this. "I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion. And again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes in war are within me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and to the shadow of death. A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness." Folks, Job is at a point right now where he is literally just having a stinking fit. And let me back up for a second and remind you that I am not here to blame Job. If I lost my wife and all of my children, he didn't lose his wife. If I lost all of my children, lost my house, lost everything all in one day, then I get sick and all this stuff starts happening to me, I'm telling you right now, I ain't no Job. God wouldn't even have to do all this to me to get me to start talking the way Job's talking. Job is now at the end of his rope. And here in chapter number 10, if you look at verse 2, he says, "Do not condemn me, show me wherefore thou contendest with me." He says, "God, why are you coming after me like you're coming after me? God, what in the world did I do?" Look at verse 15. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. He said, look, if I'm wicked, okay. And if I'm righteous, I haven't been strutting around in my pride that I'm righteous. I'm full of confusion. No, he's telling God, God, I don't understand. God, I'm done. I don't know if you've ever gotten to a point in your life where it built up so much that you literally are looking there and you're like, I'm going to lose it. And I'm not talking about losing your temper. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then right now you just need to stop and just, you got your message for tonight. God, thank you for how good you've been to me in my life. I appreciate the fact that I have no idea what preacher's talking about right now. But I'm telling you, there have been a time or two, and I've known some people that have gotten to a point in their life where they're literally about to lose their mind because they're so confused and frustrated and broke and hurt and tore up. And that's right where Job's at. Now here's the problem. The problem is that Job knows the truth about himself. Job knows that he wasn't out there messing around in sin. Job knows that he wasn't out lying and cheating and stealing. Job knows he wasn't full of bitterness and jealousy and envy. Job knows he wasn't running around cheating on his wife and taking a few sips when nobody was looking and sneaking around back for that smoke. I mean, Job knows that he was trying with everything in him to walk with his God. Job knew his prayer life. Job knew that he esteemed the words of God above his necessary meat. Job knew he wasn't a fake. And Job knew God. He knew some things about God. Job had the knowledge of God. He knows that God blesses you for doing right. And I'm telling you, God blesses you for doing right. I hate to be always the doom and gloom preacher. We are in Job, and it is a lot of doom and gloom. Hey, I've gotten way more blessings in doing right than I've ever got curses and troubles and trials and frustrations and problems. But I do know this, in the process of doing right, and Christian, in your growth process, there is a necessity for some times of tribulation, pressure, pain, and frustration. And what do we know? We know God blesses us for doing right. So here we are doing right, and then what happens? Trouble comes. Well, God blesses us for doing right, right? Yeah, God does. Okay, then why is God letting this happen? See, I know some things about God. And therefore, when I see things happening in my life or in the world around me that aren't consistent with what I know about God, I begin to really get confused and frustrated because it was the whole deal of if you, then I, and I did and he didn't. Right? That's where Job's at right now. What I'm going to submit to you tonight is this. The knowledge of God is not enough. Having some basic knowledge is not enough. What you and I need tonight is we need understanding. And what Job lacked right here is understanding. God gave us this book and wrote all this stuff out so we can look and see and we ourselves can get some understanding. We're going to be turning just a little bit tonight. It's a Wednesday night, so we're supposed to be doing a study. I know half the time I get preaching, but we'll just kind of see how it plays out. But I do want you to turn and look at some passages. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 9, please. Proverbs in chapter number 9. If you can't get there quick and it's going to distract you, you can listen. I'll read it to you. But if you can get there quick, I like you to see it. It's better for you if you can. Proverbs chapter 9, and look at verse number 10. He says, the fear of the Lord, watch it, it's defined now. So what is the fear of the Lord? Oh, it's a, you know, that. What do they say? It's not fear, it's a reverential trust. You're an idiot, all right? I don't need your stinking, like one of the preachers said Sunday, your etymologies and your roots and all that stuff. The fear of the Lord is defined right here in the verse. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. You want to define the fear of the Lord? When a guy fears the Lord, he begins to have wisdom. Now watch. And the knowledge of the holy is what? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So this brings me back to Job. He knew some facts, but did he really know God? He knew some things about God, but did he really have understanding? You see, there's a difference in the relationship as you mature as a Christian. You can know the Lord, know some things about the Lord, but really not have a full understanding of God. So here he is in Job chapter 10, going after God. Why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening? This ain't fair. You've been after me. You. And God's like, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. I haven't done any of this. It's the devil. Watch another verse. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, look at this one. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 2. This is important for you to notice. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 2. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive, watch it, the words of understanding. All right, now hang on a second. Solomon's writing this, the prophet Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, right? And he's saying, son, here's some things I want you to know. I want you to know wisdom, and I want you to have instruction, okay? So those are two separate things. Quickly, wisdom is taking the knowledge, the facts that I have, applying the facts that I have to the situation that's in front of me in such a way that will bring the best possible outcome with what I have to work with. Does that make sense? You realize sometimes we have messes in our lives, confusion in our lives. It's called sin in the world. Well, you know what you need from God? You need wisdom to take the given circumstances and know the best way to apply them to bring the best possible outcome you can from your given circumstances. That's pretty helpful to me. Because that tells me everything doesn't have to be perfect. In other words, two harlots walk in to Solomon's throne and God gives him wisdom to take the given circumstances. Wow, this is a real train wreck. That's my baby, that's my baby, that's my baby. God says, all right, here you go, boy. Let me give you some. Grab that baby and get a sword. Call one of your soldiers over here. I can see that soldier walking up there, grabbing that baby out of that woman's hands, taking that sword out. Big old gnarly arms. And Solomon says, all right, cut it in half. And one of them goes, no, no. And the other one says, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's the mom. You see that? That's wisdom. You know what you parents need? Oh, boy, do you need wisdom. Them kids will outfox you so much, it's unbelievable. You know what you need in your marriage? You know what your pastor needs? You know what you're supposed to get when you come to church? Wisdom and instruction. Now watch, they don't just stay alone. And to do what? Perceive the words of understanding. You know, the world has a lot of wisdom. Do you know there can be given a lot of instruction? But that doesn't mean you are perceiving the words of understanding. You know what God's given you in this book? Words that are supposed to give you understanding. There is a difference between wisdom and instruction, between instruction and understanding, between understanding and wisdom, between wisdom and knowledge, between knowledge and understanding. A lot of people know a lot of things about God, but they don't have the knowledge of the holy. In other words, understanding how he works in your life, how he works in the world, what he does do, what he doesn't do. Well, the Lord was just tempting me. That's not what the Bible says. You're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. The devil tempted you. Well, they showed me a Bible verse. That had to be God. God just spoke to my heart. Really? So you don't know that the devil actually uses the Bible to speak to people? No understanding. Knowledge. You can quote verses. Well, good for you. You can tell everybody else what they need to do. Well, good for you. But you didn't slow down long enough to consider whether or not some understanding was needed in this situation, that there could be more going on than what you know about, or than what somebody wants to say, or than what they've told you, or they could have lied to you. Be careful rushing into things, because what we need is some understanding. We need to sit back a little bit and say, God, I don't like what's going on and I'm not sure what to do about it. So would you please give me some understanding? I want knowledge of God. I want to know how He works. Let me show you another verse. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 3. I'll show you one of the purposes for being here tonight. Jeremiah chapter 3. Look at verse 15. Jeremiah 3:15, while you're turning there, he says, with all thy getting, get understanding, in Proverbs 4. You know what Solomon told his son? Boy, get understanding. Look at this. Proverbs Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and, see it? Understanding. You know what the purpose is? You know what my job is? My job is to get understanding from God in these words, boy, the best I possibly can, and get Him to feed me and feed me and feed me, and then to lay it out in such a way and set them in order, boy, as goads and as nails fastened by the master's assembly, and then give them to you in a way that you can get understanding. Like that light bulb. Anybody ever have a light bulb moment? Oh, that's what you need. That's desperately what Job needed. And what you need in your trials and your disappointments and your frustrations and your letdowns and your confusion is you need to be able to step back and say, God, I need some understanding. Because if I'm not careful, I'm going to start blaming you. And church, I'm telling you, and some of you, it scares me to death because you're dangerously close to this, because I've seen it before. When God doesn't answer my prayer request in my timing and give me what I need and what I want in my time frame, I begin to get frustrated. I begin to get confused. It doesn't make sense. It isn't fair. And you start getting bitter. And you start complaining. And before you know it, you're saying things and cussing out God. I've sat there with them on the phone. Blankety, blankety, blank, blankety, blank. I'm talking street preaching, mission trip, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, giving like crazy. And now they're cussing out God because, hey, this ain't fair and it don't make sense. And if there was a God in heaven, He wouldn't have done this to me. What's the problem? Boy, you're lacking understanding. The devil got a hold of you. And you're blaming God for what the devil did. One of my kids came in this morning and said, why in the world is the Bible so full? It was 7 o'clock in the morning. Why in the world is the Bible so full of killing? Everybody's killing everybody all the time. They're killing each other. They're killing their wives. They're killing kids. There's just like tribes killing tribes. She said, why is there so much of that in the Bible? I said, because God honestly records the activities of sinful men. It's like, oh. I said, yeah, that isn't God approving all that stuff. That's God honestly recording their activities. You need some understanding. Now watch this. If you get understanding, what it will do is it'll strengthen your weary soul. Look at verse 1. My soul's weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. How's understanding going to strengthen my weary soul, preacher? We'll get into that in a minute. But one of the ways you know you need understanding is that your soul begins to get weary of life. And here's how you know your soul's getting weary of life. All you can stink and do is complain. You're always upset about something. Somebody's always making you mad. Somebody's always done something wrong. Somebody's just, nothing's ever right. Nothing's ever good enough. You're always unhappy. Something is wrong in your soul, in your spirit, in your understanding of God and who He is and how good He's been to you. If all you can do is stink and complain, God doesn't like a complainer. In Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." God doesn't like complaining. And boy, don't you and I get to complaining sometimes. Why? Because we get kind of wore out with stuff. Don't you? Don't you get tired of the foolishness around you? Don't you get tired of the stupidity of people? I'm not trying to be mean. I love people. I love you. Save people when they're doing right. Amen. But don't you get tired of the stupidity? Men being human beings can be so irrational. I mean cold. Listen, when a man's head gets messed up enough, he will kill you, kill your wife, and kill your children just because. They're called psychopaths. And they exist. And you don't want to know what percentage of the population is walking around you with psychopathic tendencies or borderline psychopathic. You lived in a very messed up world. And people around you will give you plenty of reasons to complain. Bitterness begins to set in. What do you need? You need some understanding. And I know it. I know for a fact some of you are bitter. And I don't say that to look down my nose at you or accuse you or pick on you. I know what it feels like. I've had that cancer rot my soul for a long time. And that bitterness will kill you. In Romans 3:14, he says, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." If you got a cussing problem, if you got a problem with your mouth, I will tell you what more than likely is the root. I really got to learn to get control of my mouth. Yeah, you do, but as long as you keep focusing on the fruit, it's never going to stop. The root of your mouth is your bitterness. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You ain't never seen a man cussing up a storm that had a sweet spirit about him. You ain't never seen a calm, gentle, strong, loving, kind, clean guy just absolutely cussing up a storm. Hebrews 12, he says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Bitterness. You know why you're bitter? Because bad things happen. Because hurtful things happen. And because you haven't yet wrapped your mind around God and who He is and what He can and will do with, in, and through your pain. So you haven't learned yet to embrace your pain and actually say, "God, thank you for my pain. God, thank you for my wounds. God, thank you for my hurts. God, thank you for the depressing times, for the hard times, for the valleys, for the disappointments of my life. Wow, God, thank you because of what you've done in those things, with those things, through those things. Hey, as long as you're always focused on the pain and not understanding God, you'll continue to hurt. As long as you look at the people, the circumstances, the situations that have caused your pain, you'll live in them. We were talking about somebody today. We know people that have lived in stuff that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Hey, that was 40 years ago. You're still a cranky, miserable wretch, and you're trying to rain on everybody else's sunny day all the time because 40 years ago something bad happened to you. I'm sorry about that. That's horrible. That's tragic.
But have you not ever learned to get past that? Have you not ever learned to give that thing to God? Have you not ever learned to see God do some good things with your pain? Have you not ever felt compassion for other people who've gone through what you're going through and said, God, listen, since this happened to me and you helped me with it, can you lead me to somebody else to help them with what I've gone through? Listen, our problem is not the pain. Our problem is we've never learned what to do with it. So we get bitter. And then, when your soul's weary of your life, you'll begin to have boldness to say things you shouldn't say. And that's Job running from verse 3 all the way down through verse 11. He begins to just point the finger at God and rail on God and get mad at God. And I guarantee you, there's things coming out of Job's mouth now that he never imagined he would have said. Why don't you just kill me? You're not fair to me. Again, I'm not picking on Job. Because I see the caliber of man that I'm not by looking at what it took to push him to this point. And I was thinking about that today sitting in my office. I thought, man, Job, you know, bro, I got to hand it to you. Because I'd have been saying this stuff long before 10 kids, everything wiped out. Boils all over my body. Idiots sitting here running. You know, for me, all it would have taken is the idiots sitting there. I'd have been ready to kill somebody by the time that conversation was over. That shows you what caliber of man I'm not, what caliber of man he was. I'm not harping on him. But boy, do I ever see things in there that, boy, pop right out at me and go, my word, that's my problem. Once you're weary of your life, it's because you're lacking some understanding of God. Number two, if you get some understanding of God, it'll give you hope in your trials. Now, you see a little glimmer of hope here in verse number 12. Thou hast granted me life and what? Favor. You know what he's saying? Lord, you put life in me. And Lord, back in the day, you were super good to me. You've given me a lot. You've granted me life and favor. And thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. You know why I'm alive today? It ain't from green smoothies. It ain't from hours on the trail. I'm alive today because God let me live another day. God's kept me alive. I can think of two or three different circumstances in my life I should have died. And many of you can too. God's been good to you. Well, getting a little bit of understanding of God will help you realize where your life comes from. Keep your finger here in Job. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, please. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Look at verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. You know where your life comes from? It comes from Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the, see it? The life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You know where life comes from? It comes from God, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You know where life is? It's in the Lord. You know why your dog is alive?
God. You know why the fish in your fish tank at home are alive? You know why this spring your grass is alive? Now wait a minute. We're looking at a man who's staring at 10 graves. You have never, hear me clear, you have never walked into a funeral home and looked at a body in a casket and seen something God ever wanted to happen.
Right. Yep.
Since by man came death, God never wanted death to happen. So you're sitting there at the number one worst thing that could ever happen to somebody, and that is not to die yourself, but it is to lose a loved one and to have to go on with life without them. And you're looking at something that God, you say, well, why'd God do this? God didn't do it. Sin did it. God is so loving. He created us to live forever. He didn't want any of that happening. Get that in you. Get an understanding of that. Get an understanding of that. These stinking Calvinists will mess your head up so bad. Well, it's all, I don't know, everything's God's will. So since I just bumped my toe, God knew it was God's will. God's will. God's will. God, like God's in heaven micromanaging everything. Where do you find that in the Bible? It was not God's will that they perish. It was God's mercy so they wouldn't live forever in sin. Back in Job 10, we're going to come back here to Philippians, so keep your finger there in a minute. You see, the life comes from God. Job noticed that. You see also that favor comes from God. Thou hast granted me life and favor. In verse 13, he says, and these things hast thou hidden thine heart. I know that this is with thee. You know what Job knew? He knew in God's heart. He knew that life is there, and he knew that favor is in God's heart. How did he know that? Well, because he did have a relationship with God before all this started. Now that he's waded way out there in his pain and in his frustration, he's beginning to lose sight of some things. Philippians chapter 4, please, look at verse 6. If you get an understanding of God and who he is and how he works and how he doesn't work, it'll help you to give you some hope in your trials. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all what? Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You realize it's one thing when the teacher gets up in class and puts the algebraic equation on the board and you understand it? That's one thing. That's understanding. But it's not a spiritual understanding. It's a mental understanding. It's a human understanding. When I begin talking to you about the understanding found in Proverbs, the understanding that Job needed in this passage that he may at one time have had of God but has lost in his pain, when I talk to you about your desperate need for understanding, it takes on a whole new dimension. I'm not in talking about your intelligence. I'm talking about your ability to have a knowledge of the holy, to have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the knowledge of God and understand, to perceive the words of God in such a way that when you're sitting there in the morning, I hope, before you launch out into this world, you rustle yourself up out of your bed just a little bit early. I hope. I'm not telling you what to do, but I hope. And you get out that book and you say, Lord, before I head out there, I'm going to give a chapter or two, and I'm going to ask you to speak to my heart. And you begin to read those words. You know, you can read those words, and they're just words, and you get through them, and it's over.
I didn't get nothing out of my Bible.
Or, if you really have understanding, God will help you perceive those words. And there's a huge difference in reading your Bible one way and reading your Bible with perception and understanding, where your Savior shows up and he literally puts his finger on the word and he goes, look at that, now that, now that, now that. And you go, oh, there he is.
I'm talking about a spiritual understanding. If we don't have spiritual understanding, we are going to become prey to the devil. Parents, you probably have a feel for this if you have kids, especially when they get old enough to have an opinion and have an opinion of you. And sometimes you'll say and do things that to them is perceived as unjust. Mean. Ever hear kids say, "My parents are so mean," right? But if you're a parent working on the kid, you know what you're doing. And they don't, and you're watching them to see if they'll trust you, respect you, and obey you, even though they don't understand. Because it's not all about them understanding what you said. It's about seeing whether or not they have the character to do what they're told, even though when they don't understand it all. In other words, a knowledge of the holy. Well, God's God, and I don't understand why all this is happening, and it's blatantly wrong. I've been living a righteous life. I've been doing right, and everything's stinking, falling apart. Nothing's true, but I know I haven't been... God wasn't convicting me of anything. I've been doing everything I can to serve God, so I guess I'm going to walk in wisdom because God's God, and I'm not, and I ain't going to talk against Him. And I guess since He's God, He's going to work something out in the end. Because I don't know the circumstance. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to fix it, but I do know Him. And I know that He always comes through in the end. See? You don't have to have a knowledge of all your circumstances. You have to have a knowledge of the holy. That's understanding. Last thing, and we'll go. If you get some understanding, it'll give you an eternal perspective of your present distress. He goes down there in verse number 18, and why'd I come out of the womb, and all that I'd given up the ghost, and nobody'd seen me. I wish nobody had ever even laid eyes on me. Really upset. I don't blame him again. Are not my days few? Verse 20. Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. You know what his problem is? All he can see is this life. And you know what the problem with you is? When you lack understanding of God, all you see is your current situation. You don't have an eternal perspective. You know what an understanding of God will give you? An eternal perspective. Folks, there's so much more going on around us than you and I know. God's beginning to show me just a little bit in the ministry. It's only been 12 years. I mean, we're just getting warmed up, honestly. I'm not kidding you, and I'm not saying that to be humble or to sound like I'm not thinking that I'm old. You follow that? I didn't say that to sound like I'm not thinking that I'm old. I really believe 12 years is warming up. And you know what I'm beginning to see? God has been and is and will continue to be doing things we didn't even know He was doing. I believe with all my heart, people are going to become walking in that door, are going to come walking in that back door and say, "We've been watching you for 12 years. And as I drove by, I saw your sign. The Holy Spirit of God told me to come, and I've been putting it off. And now this just happened, and that just happened, and the other thing just happened, and I just decided I was going to stop in here and see what God has for me." I don't know who they are, but they're part of my church family. I don't know who they are, but I'm their pastor. I don't know who they are, but they'll be building platforms and putting in flooring and ripping out carpet. And He knows who they are. I don't have to have a knowledge of everything around me. I just have to know Him. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now watch this and we'll close. Go with me to the New Testament, if you would, please. Just a couple more verses, Ephesians chapter 5. I want to understand His will. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14. Wherefore He saith, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." There's Job sitting there looking around at darkness. That's how he ended chapter 10. All he sees is the death and the darkness. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's a circumference, looking all the way around, circumspect. Not as fools, but as wise,
redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. See, saved people can lack wisdom. But understanding. See, saved people can lack understanding. Understanding what? What the will of the Lord is. You know what God wants from you and I? He wants us to understand. I'm confused. You shouldn't be. But, stop. It's not fair. Stop. What's the will of God? If I just knew God's will, then I just stop. Usually when we say, if I just knew God's will, I just want to know what God wants, what we mean is, I already know what I want, and I want God to give it to me now. And until God gives it to me, I'm not going to do what I have right in front of me that God already told me to do. I want the end. I want the reward. I want the finish. I don't want the process that goes from here to the finish. You lack understanding. You lack a knowledge of the holy. You lack understanding. That ain't the way God works. You don't understand what the will of God is? He goes on in that passage. You can read it later. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he goes down through there and tells you what the will of God is. You want things to work out for you in the end? Do the will of God. Understand God's will for your life right now. Not talking about a mission field. I'm not talking about a church. I'm not talking about some kind of gift. I'm talking about today. If you don't do God's will today, you're never going to wind up where God wants you down the road. It ain't going to happen. The will of God is found on the road of duty. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us to understand the will of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Now watch what God's going to do so you can understand. It's talking about your Savior. It says, though he were a son, see the capital S, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Was Jesus at fault? A whole lot less than Job is. Yet they're both suffering. Do you realize you need the knowledge of God? You need to understand that when suffering comes and when you got a pain or a burden you have to carry or a wound in your heart that's there for the rest of your life, that that suffering is meant by God not to kill you, not to hurt you, but to perfect you and to help you and to draw you closer to the one that can give you some comfort. The problem is most of us are back there at the beginning of the chapter complaining and bitter and blaming and not understanding that, hey, like Joseph said, you meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. The bad things that have happened to you, the confusing things, the frustrating things, that wasn't God. I'm telling you right now, God didn't put you into a drug addiction. 1 John 5, God didn't put all those temptations in your life. Go to 1 John 5, we'll close there. That was your flesh. That was the devil. You have to have a knowledge of God to understand. You can't blame everything on him just because he's God. 1 John 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us in what? What's the Son of God given us?
Understanding.
An understanding. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. You know what the Son of God came to give you, Christian? Understanding. So when you're all confused and when it's not fair and when it's all frustrating and when it's all falling apart, and you can blame God if you want. You can complain about it if you want. You can blame yourself if you want. You can complain about it if you want. You can blame others if you want. You can be bitter towards them if you want. But listen, bad things happen in a sinful world. Sometimes our own fault. Sometimes the devil's fault. Never the Lord's fault. Even if God's whooping you because you're backslidden, that's not a bad thing. That's him trying to get you right. God's good. All the time. So if you and I can wrap our minds around the knowledge of God and make it a point in our life to say, God, I'm going to get to know you better. I want to walk with you more. I want to know your will. I want to do your will. I want to understand your methods. I want to know how you work. Then we will live in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what will happen in your life is what happens to Job in the end. God pulls him out of that pit the devil put him in and blesses him double as much. And he couldn't have got the double blessing without the pain. The problem with us is we react to the pain wrong because we lack a knowledge of God. And that shows we lack understanding. I want you to understand God. And if I can leave you with anything tonight, it's this. Go home. Before you go to sleep tonight, say, God, I obviously need a much greater knowledge of you. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You think the Lord ain't going to give you a greater knowledge of him if you ask him for it? If you want it? If you're ready to take whatever it means, whatever comes with it, he will. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you tonight.